Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Call your father back or you will not have any money the rest of your life. Call me back. She still doesn't call me back. But I got this new phone and I'm learning to text message. No, you gotta hear this. I text message her and I say send. Boop. Sends, and I put it down. Like 5 seconds later, whoop, she's alive!
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, a message from a series Pastor Wayne did called Heroes, and we're going to start with one of Pastor Wayne's favorite Bible heroes in a message entitled David, a man whose days were numbered. But first, we invite you to join us for a moment of worship.
Heroes. Actually, these are raw, unedited accounts of men and women placed in the Bible for a reason. Why did God record their stories and then patch them into the Old Testament and New Testament? For whom? For posterity? For history? No. It says in the book of Romans, Apostle Paul says it this way, those things that were written in earlier times were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That through encouragement and the perseverance of the scriptures, and through perseverance rather, we might have hope. And so what the Bible is saying is God placed those stories in the Bible for whom? For us. That if you would distill their stories down, you will see surfacing one or two lessons that are life essentials. That God said, here's what you can learn out of David. Now you take that. It'll change your life. You take this. Now, that's why I put him here. It wasn't just for a bunch of details or historical facts or figures. There's life essentials in every one if you will distill it out. In Solomon's life, Abraham's life, Joseph's life, they're all put there for a reason, for us, so that we'll be mentored by these who have gone before us. And their faith will be ringed and squeezed into us in concentrated form, and we work them into our lives. And because of what God has taught us, we can become all God created us to be. And without them, we won't be all that we're supposed to be. So God puts them in the Bible for us to take their lives and distill life essentials from it. Well, one of our first and primary heroes, one of my favorite, his name, David. David was a shepherd in the beginning, but he became a shepherd king. Oh, his talent, his competency, his leadership ability was so spectacular and exemplary, it intimidated the socks off of Saul. Oh my goodness. In fact, it caused him so much consternation, I didn't say constipation, that it caused him to put a death warrant on David. There was a contract out for his life, and anybody that would help David would have the same death sentence written on their life. I mean, it's bad enough to have a friend turn against you. Try it when the government puts a contract on your life. Unless you're Jason Bourne 007 or Rambo, you're dead meat. Your days are numbered. And David was someone whose days were numbered. He would flee. He would be hiding in caves and holes in the ground. And you know, when your days are numbered, you know you don't have much time left. You reassess everything, don't you? You live differently. The things that you thought were important are not very important anymore. And the things you took for granted become extremely important. And your life distills into this crystal clear focus. The lenses of your life begin to turn until everything comes focused and clear. And then you say, this is what I need to be about in the remaining time that I have. You know, I was thinking, if someone faces a terminal disease, and you've heard those that have had cancer or some other kind of debilitating disease where their days have been numbered, it's at that moment, all of a sudden, everything changes. They live differently. They think differently. And then I was thinking, why wait for some gangster to number your days, or some Al-Qaeda terrorist to number your days, or maybe a disease or some terminal kind of problem like cancer to number your days before you focus your life into what should be crystal and clear? Why wait till the end? Why don't we do this back here? Now, this is the lesson that David is going to teach us today. He's going to ask us to do something that will change our lives. So if you'll take out your notes with me, we'll take a look at the scripture on the top. Oh, you don't have notes today. All right, I'm just checking with you. All right, just joking with you. But we're going to bring it up on the screen just for you. And it's Psalm 90. See, some of you are mad at me now. We want to see what he says in Psalm 90 in verse 12. It's going to come up on the screen. Let's read it together. Would you go? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Read the first part again. So teach us to number our days. Now watch this. Here's what David is saying. Why wait until some dysfunctional king numbers your days for you and then you reassess life? Why wait for a terrorist or a gangster or a criminal to put you in his sights or have a death contract out on you before you number your days? Why wait for a disease until you're terminal? You can't do anything else to say, all right, I've got to do what God's asking me to do. Why wait till then when you've got only a short amount of time? Why don't you do this, start that way of living here and let your life get into crystal clear focus here. Now look how optimized your life can be. That's why David says, teach us to what? Not wait for someone else to number our days, but what? Number our own days. In other words, here's what he's saying. God, teach us way back here, teach us how to live as if our days were numbered when we're still young. Help us to live as if, or in such a way as if our days had been numbered, and reassess and live correctly. Then we've got a whole life to optimize. What an adventure. But most of us wait until we've got zero time left before we start to clarify our life's goals and what God's called us to do. No. Teach us to number our days, because you see, when you do, you will start to develop a life of wisdom. Watch this. Watch people who just take everything for granted, just everything just kind of, well, whatever. They will not have much wisdom. Wisdom will only surface from those, be developed in those who live as if their days were numbered. Then they make decisions very wisely. They know what hills to die on and what they will not die on. There's a sense of patience. There's an increased priority in relationships. There's a depth of faith like never before. They begin to see things more eternally. The plans of their life are so different. There's wisdom in their life, because you will only gain wisdom when you live in such a way as if your days were numbered. David says it so well and so clearly. Psalm 90 and verse 12, teach us to what? Number our days so that we might present to you a heart or a life of wisdom. In other words, teach me, Lord, to live in such a way as if my days were numbered, because then I begin to develop, I begin to build and cultivate wisdom. Wisdom will not be found in people who think life is automatic. It will only be found in those who understand the greatest things of life are intentionally cultivated. And they invest in that. So here's the first thing you do. You've got to, here it is, number one, write it down somewhere. You've got to identify what those five major gears are in your life. Identify them. It's going to take you some time to reassess, think, But write them down. You can write on a piece of paper, on your arm, as a tattoo, on your neck, or your neighbor's forehead. But write this down. Identify. Identify. Now, it's going to mean different things at different stages of your life. If you're younger, one of your main gears might be establishing or finishing my education. It'll be different over here, but over here it is very important. That's going to switch. You don't have a family, so children may not be one of your main priorities, but for someone over here, it is. So what season are you in? You reassess. Another one might be my faith. I've got to get my faith solid. You see, there was a season where I struggled with my faith. People say, Wayne, are you a man of faith? I say, yes, I am a man of faith, but it did not come easily. I wrestled with things, and here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make my faith to become what I call a no-brainer. What that means is I don't wrestle with my faith. I don't question God. I may not understand Him, but I don't question Him anymore. He's at the core of the very core of my heart, and I'm not coy about my faith, the fact that I love God with all my heart. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not going to be belligerent, or I'm not going to be pushy because of it. But I am not in any way shadowed or hidden or just reticent about it. No, I had to come to that point. And so there was a time in my life where establishing a no-brainer faith was a really big gear for me. Now it's maintaining or growing in my faith. Over here, someone might have as a main goal financial health. I didn't say try to get rich at any cost. I'm saying financial health, which means can I be faithful with whatever amount God entrusts to me for this season of my life, whether it's lot or little. What are those things that you've got to reassess in another amount over here? And because they're going to change. And so you've got to identify. And the second thing, write down, is not only identify, but then you just not archive it. You invest in those. You invest. Because the first thing you have to do is, man, I forgot already. What was that? The first thing is, yeah, identify. That's it. Thank you. You've got to identify, and then you have to invest in it. And then you want to know how often? Every day. There's number three. Write that down. Every day. Those three things that are so important if you are going to clarify your life, because you don't want to wait till the end of life before you start turning the lens and getting it focused. Get it focused over here. Now you can optimize it. That's exactly what David is saying. Teach us to number our own days rather than old age or terminal sickness or Al-Qaeda or terrorists or anything. Numbers our days for us. Teach us to live in such a way as if our days were numbered. Watch how clear your life gets. You watch how much wisdom enters into your soul. That's why people at 40 or 50 can be scanty in wisdom. Because they just take everything, well, whatever, well, which whatever. But if you are living in such a way as if your days are numbered, you have much more wisdom. Doesn't mean you got everything figured out. You just put a whole lot more wisdom into everything, a lot more. So the first thing is you have, what was it again? The first thing is you, that's it, identify. And then invest. And how often?
Every day.
Every day. So I write mine down. I have it ever before me in my calendar, and I've shown you that before, where I write down five of the biggest gears, and they're before me every month as I open my calendar. They're there, and I highlight it in yellow, so it's staring at me. And I have different ones, and I look at it. One is my faith in Christ. It's growing. And so every morning, I make sure I'm down there doing my devotions. I don't care if other things are coming up. I'm going to do it because I've got to invest in it. How often?
Every day.
You do that, at the end of the year, your year will be so much more fruitful than ever before because you're finally hitting the nail on the head and not your thumb. You're starting to focus in your life, and there's a laser beam rather than a scattered shadow to the direction of your life. Then it says, my marriage. So I invest in my wife. How often? That doesn't mean I'm this perfect guy. No, I make some mistakes, but because that's staring at me, when I look at my calendar, I think, oh, okay, I better go make it right. And then you make it right. Those are the things that really help you stay on track. The other is my children. I want to make sure that I'm communicating with my kids. I have three animals, and we try to communicate with them every day. Now, I want you got to hear this. Now, watch this. Here's a sidebar. Parents, listen very carefully. You need to learn how to communicate in a way that your children will understand, and they all do not have the same mode of communication that you think is most comfortable. Some of you might think, well, we'll just talk about it. They may not be comfortable in that mode of communication. And it would be crazy for you to think that the way you are most comfortable at communicating, it's their best way of being communicated with. It could be the worst. You've got to learn. For example, when my daughter, Amy, when she was young, 3 years old, even in preschool, I started a habit of going to breakfast with her, and once a week, and we just talk and have dad and daughter time. And now today, she's 29, and she still like her best way of communicating with me is face to face over some meal, and we talk like breakfast. So whenever I go up there, I take time and we go to breakfast at least once and just talk. And it's just like her heart, oh, okay, I'm okay now. It just everything settles in. So she likes that. My son likes to do things with me. So we'll surf or go or canoeing out in the ocean, and we'll do an activity together, do a barbecue, ride a motorcycle, and then we communicate or commune, or there's just a connection. My youngest daughter isn't like that. She doesn't like to talk face to face all the time. In fact, I'll call her and I'll say, hey, call dad back, click, you know, and she doesn't call me back. And I ring her again. And she's got this funny ringer. It's like when it's ringing, there's just like this rock and roll song. Yeah, when it's done, hey, change your ringer to something more human. Goodbye. Click. You know. What is that? Just regular ring. Ring, ring, ring is good enough. And she doesn't call your father back, or you will not have any help or money the rest of your life. Finish. Pow. Done. Call me back. She still doesn't call me back. But I got this new phone, and I'm learning to text message. No, you got to hear this. This is worth the price of your admission today. I text message her. You know, I just say something real whatever, and I say, send, whoop, sends, and I put it down. Like 5 seconds later, whoop, she's alive! Absolutely amazing. I text her back, whoop, whoop, and back, whoa, this is cool. And we started texting one another. That's her mode of communication. She didn't like face-to-face. And so I'll talk to her. I mean, we can be eating breakfast. You want some water? Dad, text me. Text me. That's crazy. But folks, listen, that's the way different people want to, or they prefer communication. If you don't learn that, you will think that the way you communicate is the way everybody else does, and you're going to run into dead end after dead end. You'll have a relational breakdown. Mark my words. So I write that down, family, and I got to learn how they all communicate. My wife communicates differently. She wants me to take her to Ross. They're in Ross. We talk, and she... So it's different ways of communication. But I write that down and I make sure I do that. How often? Oh, that's right. Every single day. And so I write it in my calendar and I keep on to that. And I was doing that in my calendar, you know, and I thought, man, this is so helpful. And that you know what I thought? I need to do this, and I brought my calendar with me. And I need to develop a calendar for everybody in New Hope that sets all of this stuff up. So I put together a thing called the Life Calendar, and I have one of these for every single one of you. And it starts with January, actually, right at the beginning. There's instructions as how to use this calendar, and it's hot off the press. And I've already started mine doing some stuff here, but First of all, every single day, you will see that the scriptures for today's reading will be in that day, and a little box, so you just check it off for that day's reading. And then in the middle, there's this cardboard flap that every month, there's this little thing, I was gonna call it a centerfold, but I thought, nah. Nah, so I call it a midsection. And so you're... So your midriff is right here. But at the top, you'll see I've already colored mine in for January. At the top, it'll say what's most important. And you, after identifying what they are, you write it in here. Now, if you turn this little midsection here, you'll notice it'll have it on the other side too. It's designed that way. So wherever you are on what side of the week you're on, your five most important things that you are going to be held accountable for before the Lord, that 5% of your life that's going to make the most difference in the rest of your life, that it'll be staring at you wherever you look and wherever you're working on in your calendar, so that you write it in every month two times. So the design is when you're done with your year, you will have copied and written that thing 24 times because you gotta get it into your mind what's most important. It's designed that way. Right under it is a place called points of obedience. That stuff this month God is asking you to do that you have not been doing. And it could be as simple as clean your room, make your bed, you know, stuff like that. And so things that you've been putting off, in other words, these are things you cannot let the month go by without having accomplished. What I want this calendar to do is prompt you to obedience. It'll remind you, equip you to move towards obedience. And then we've got these little post-it note areas right here that there's a little space for it, and you just put this post-it note here. And that's your daily stuff, like buy eggs, you know, do this, do that. And you just write them in there. When it's done, you can toss it, put another one there, so you don't have to write it all in these little spaces here. And so you have it on both sides over here. On this side, it says notes. So you write down, someone says, hey, here's my phone number. You can just write it down right there. And then under here, this is what I've been doing for a long time. I put a person's name in each week to invest in. Maybe a relationship that I've kind of let go moldy for a while, a relationship that I've marginalized someone mistakenly, or just feel I need to develop a little bit better, or someone I just need to encourage. I put a name in here, and when the week comes, I either have lunch with them, or if they're in the mainland, I write them a long letter letting them know how much I appreciate them, or in a word of encouragement, or I take some time to spend with someone, and I write a name in each. Now, if you do one person a week of an estranged son that you need to get together with, or a parent, or whatever it might be, or someone you just sense God is saying, spend some time with, fill in the blank. If you'll do that obediently before God, you think about it, after the end of the year, you will have invested deeply in friendships, 52 people. 52 people will know how much you love them. You understand the power of that relationship building? Because it's intentional, not automatic anymore. And then there's a little space here that says relationship builders. You write four names in here and you check them off. Those are the ones. See, this has to prompt you to obedience. And then at the bottom here, it's a prayer list. I write down people that I'm praying for inside or outside of my family, of friends, etc., the church, etc. So when you go through this through every month, it will prompt you to obedience. It'll help you stay crystal clear in what God is calling you to do. And I tell you, at the end of the year, you will have a fruitful 2008. We've got one for you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All right. And then we even will give you a packet of post-it notes. Is that cool or what? That's icing on the cake. And because in these heroes here, they're giving us life essentials that we're learning. You'll see it on the watermark here. It'll say life essentials. So when you put it there, you say, all that I'm doing here is hitting the mark, and these are life essentials. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for your grace on our lives. Thank you for being such a great God. We love being your people. Lord, continue to equip us to be people who are growing in this next year from glory to glory into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank God with a clap offering?
You have just heard a message entitled David, A Man Whose Days Were Numbered by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.